Hello and welcome to the Yogi Therapist Podcast. I'm your host, Shelby, a licensed mental health counselor and 200-hour certified yoga teacher living in Boston, Massachusetts. Through interviews with wellness professionals and discussions that infuse health, yoga, and psychology, we'll learn accessible ways to live an authentic, ethical, and non-toxic lifestyle. Welcome back. It is episode 21 of the Yogi Therapist Podcast, and today's guest is Dr. Laura Latham. And you may be thinking, that last name sounds really familiar. Oh, indeed, it does. Let me tell you why. You might remember episode 5, Dr. Tim Latham, who is my doctor. This is actually his partner, so really exciting to have Dr. Laura Latham on the podcast. She's incredibly brilliant, such a kind person, so easy to talk to and genuine and authentic, and we just had the best time. I think we talked for like 2.5 hours, but don't worry, this episode is only about an hour long. We just had so many things to talk about, and it was really fun. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, and before we jump into what you can expect, I just wanted to also say thank you so much for continuing to listen and support this podcast. I have, oh my goodness, so many things going on right now. I am moving in about a week. I am in the midst of running this private practice once a week, teaching a yin yoga class once a week, working at my full-time job, planning a trip to Italy, which will be happening in a few weeks. Oh my God, I know. I'm so excited. Side note, we're going for a friend's elopement and it's going to be amazing. More details on that though another time, and maybe you can expect some photos on Instagram. We'll see. All that being aside, I'm just so grateful for your support because I do have a lot going on and I do still love this podcast and I do still want to produce it. And I have so many really great interviews recorded and ready to go. But there's just so much going on and this does take a while. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you're new to this podcast, if you just discovered me, thank you so much for being here. And I'm really excited to support you in whatever way that you need. So everybody, please totally shoot me a message if you think that there are some ways that I can be more useful to you with this podcast. If you have guests that you'd love for me to interview, if there are topics that I haven't covered that you think you're really interested in and would want to hear more information about. Oh, that's Serafina. Oh my goodness. Hi, Bean. Thank you so much again for your support. It's really, really meaningful to me. And I get so excited when people say that they've listened to an episode. I'm just like, what? You're listening to me? Oh my God. But anyway, I get so excited when people say they've listened to an episode, so thank you. So here's what you can expect in today's episode with Laura. She is, as I mentioned, a doctor of chiropractic. She's also a registered yoga teacher, and it's really cool because she knows she knows a lot about the body. So it was really cool to hear her talk about her yoga practice and also how her job as a chiropractor almost like informs her every movement. She shares with us how she discovered her passion for chiropractic, what kind of led her to that path. She talks about what led her to yoga teacher training and how she found yoga. She shares her relationship to meditation, and she gives a really great analogy on how meditation is like food. I promise it works, so stay tuned to hear that. She also talks about how her profession as a chiropractor informs her personal yoga practice and also how she's beginning to expand and really use her knowledge in both of those fields to help others. She shares what you can expect in an appointment with her, and she even shares her experience working with folks who maybe have a harder time finding motivation and feeling good about movement and fitness and exercise and all that. So it's really, really cool. I know you're absolutely going to love her. She's just as incredible as her husband, Tim, and I highly, highly recommend connecting with her. So I hope that you really enjoy this episode. Please feel free to tag us both on social media. Laura's handle will be in the shots, but it's at The Yoga Fix, which, like, oh my God, the most brilliant name ever. So feel free to tag us, share the podcast episode with people that you think might enjoy it, give us a shout out, message us, tell us what you think of the episode. We really, really would love to connect with you. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the episode with Dr. Laura Latham.
I think Tim was episode 5?
Yeah, something in the beginning.
But it's really cool because we talked a lot about like the practice here and everything.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to now kind of shift that and talk to you about you. And obviously we can still talk about like the growth that you guys have had. So we know a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
From your hubs.
He like told the punchline of all my jokes already.
I know you guys met in school.
Yep. In grad school.
In grad school for both when you were studying chiropractic.
Yep.
Do you just say chiropractic or chiropractic care?
That's a really good question. And it's something that I'm always like, I don't notice it until like somebody says something a little funny and I'm like, wait a minute, what? Chiropractic.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Chiro.
It's even like the, yeah, the chiro. even like the name of it is like, so like it means so many things that, and especially as you know, for us, it means so many things.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like say the word and be very pointed with it. Mm. So I'm totally fine with whatever you want to call it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And how did you decide that you wanted to go into that field?
Actually I was a pre-physical therapy major in undergrad. I played a lot of sports in high school, and I always knew that I wanted to, like, work with athletes, help athletes, and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of a pipe dream, because my mom was always like, oh, if you're a physical therapist, then you'll work with a team, and you need to, like, bring me back down to earth. Like, you're not going to work with a team, you know? And then I've learned that, like, everyone is an athlete, not just, you know, Dustin Pedroia, but you or I or the mom that picks up her toddler or the guy that's actually training for powerlifting competition or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like this, if you move, which if you squat to go to the bathroom, you're an athlete as far as I'm concerned. So I can help you. So that's a little bit of a tangent. But so I was pre-PT in undergrad, and part of that was doing like observation hours as I was applying to the physical therapy program. And I was with an awesome PT in outpatient clinic, and she had her next patient was ADHD, a little bit autistic, little boy, and high energy and easily distracted, and I couldn't be in the room for that. It would be too much for him. So, but it was a big clinic, and she's like, oh, why don't you go with Dr. I don't even remember his name, which is so crazy. And he like changed the course of my career, but, Dr. Bill or Dr. Bob. And I was like, sure, I'll go with Dr. Bob. And I was like, wait a minute. So this guy's a chiropractor. He does all the same, like uses all the same exercises, equipment. Mm-hmm. He does his own evals and diagnosing. And 'cause at the time, there's a thing called direct access with physical therapy, which is just starting to change, I think, in Massachusetts, where before you needed a prescription from an MD or an ortho for physical therapy. You couldn't just show up at a physical therapist's office and get physical therapy. And on top of that, some orthos, especially if it was a surgical situation, some orthos not only would say, okay, you need a script for physical therapy, but also these are the exact exercises you're going to do, when you're going to do them, how you're going to progress. So the physical therapist went from being like an executive chef, which is kind of where they belong as far as like the movement world goes, it to like from menu selection to recipe, you know, modification to like just the sous chef who stands in the corner and chops onions as per direction from someone else. So I was kind of like, when I went with the chiropractor, I was like, wait a minute. So you can do all the things from a like clinical scope of practice perspective, but you can diagnose your own patients, direct your own care, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I remember coming home and I was like, Mom, he does this cool like Indiana Jones thing with the person's neck. And like the average person probably was scared to death of seeing that. But I was like, this is awesome. Yeah. And I started looking into it more. And also, this is a long story. Sorry.
Please go ahead. Yeah.
So the physical therapy was also changing from, for the most part, it was master's programs to become a licensed physical therapist to shifting to doctorate programs. So nowadays you can't find a program that's master's. Nowadays, I sound like I'm so old. but they're all DPT or doctorate of physical therapy programs. And, my school, I went to UConn in undergrad, University of Connecticut, and they were switching from master's to doctorate. The doctorate wasn't even accredited yet, and they wanted, but they were shifting everyone so that I was the first class to apply. Mm-hmm. And they were allowing some people to continuing the master's, but like select group were initiating this doctorate program. And when I applied, I got accepted. I happened to know the dean, for he was one of my teachers, and like in UConn, to like have a relationship with your teacher, because it's such a big school, like you're just a one face in the crowd. It was kind of crazy to even think like, then this was also a guy who changed my entire future, because he knew me. He thought he was doing me a favor by accepting me into the DPT program and not the master's program. And I remember being like, so now I have to do an entire extra year of school for a degree, which is more, which sounds cool, but like I don't get paid any extra from the master's. And I would, people at the same time, I was like, it's like a whole lot of extra work and time and money, and for what? And then also I can't even direct my care. And that's when I was like, okay, if I'm going to go this route with the extra school, like I want to have the flexibility and the control. And that's when I was like, chiropractic is the way to go. And I switched to from just like a pre-med kind of pre-PT program to physiology. It's kind of a long name, but physiology and neurobiology was my undergrad, which is kind of like a pre-med track, but in a specific biology. So it's not technically pre-med, but I picked a focus there. And then I ended up in chiropractic school. That's my story.
Well,
20 minutes later.
No. I love that. And it's so interesting that you've had it kind of like, not necessarily a winding path, but you had one thing in mind as to what you were going to do, and then it shifted.
Yeah.
You know, so all of a sudden, like, you were, like, expanded. Someone was like, no, look at all of this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm resonating with how, like, driven and determined you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. You're like, wait a minute. No. Like, I want to do all this myself. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I feel like I've always wanted to, like, be my own boss, like, have control. I've always liked the idea of helping people and in the healthcare field in general. I don't know. Both my parents are in the healthcare field, so, like, I had an understanding for that. My dad's a dentist.
Oh, my God, so is mine.
Really?
Yeah.
No
pediatric, way. Though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. My dad's just general dentistry.
Nice.
But he's kind of, if he ever listened to this, he'd be mad at me for saying, but he's kind of retiring. He just sold his practice last year, but he refuses to say retired because he still does some coverage.
Yeah.
You know, because when he was selling his practice, he was like, I am not retired. I'm still, like, people were sending him mail like, oh, congratulations on your retirement. And he's like, I'm not dead. But anyway, like, so he had, like, he was a small business owner his whole life. And, like, I worked in his practice filing paperwork and sending billing and stuff like that in high school. So I always
so cool.
had, like, an experience with that. And it just seemed doable and, yeah, I just like the idea of being my own boss and not having to like answer to the man for the way I was, you know, treating someone, because there's a lot of like micromanagement that happens and very worried about, like, as we were talking about, like billable hours and that sort of stuff. And I'm like, but what happens to patient care at that point, you know? And here I am.
Doing amazing things.
Yeah, doing some things.
So, it's funny because, like, my dad owns his own business and has for, like, a million years. Mm-hmm. And I grew up seeing, like, oh, my dad is his own boss. I want to be my own boss, too. So that really, really resonated with me.
Yep, for sure.
And so I know a little bit about, like, you know, post when you got your degree in chiropractic. Yep. It's so funny to be like, so we all know this already, you know, like you didn't share it.
It's kind of funny.
So funny. So I wonder if we can shift a little bit and talk about your background with yoga.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how you fell into that, how you found
that
you wanted to, you know, go through a teacher training.
Yeah. So that's kind of a funny story too. I'll try to give you like the sort of abbreviated version.
No need at all. Like we're here for you. We want to hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, here goes. So, Yeah, I took my first yoga class in like 2010. Mm. And it was something they actually had, like in chiropractic school, they had like an a yoga elective. Or maybe it was something about like pop culture exercise where they covered Pilates and like all different things, but they had like a yoga day in there. And I remember thinking that would be really cool, but never took it. And I, like I mentioned, I've always been super active. I like trying new things. A friend of mine was like, oh my gosh, you're going to love this yoga class. You should come to yoga. And I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. And like, as an aside, like something that looking back now, I realize how important it was, but then I had no idea. So then I was raised from, oops, sorry, smacked the table.
Are you okay?
Okay,
good.
So from like a spiritual perspective, I was raised Catholic, and my mom was always like big church promoter, goer, that sort of thing. Like I went to CCD every Sunday growing up. I've done all the sacraments. At certain points in my life, I was very, I would say, like, consistent with it, but I always kind of questioned a lot of things. And around this same time was when the Spotlight movie came out.
Yeah.
And I just was like, and there was also a lot about same-sex marriage happening at the same time. And I was just like, God is cool and all, but, like, I can't get behind people who are just not consistent with God's message or Jesus's message. And I was like, and it's just one like tool. Like there's Catholicism, even around one to stay within Christianity, there's, you know, Episcopalian and like all the different things. So I was like, I'm looking for something. I'm shopping religions right now, essentially. Like, I started like getting very black and white about it. Like, okay, so I have a science background, and I know that, like, creationism doesn't make a ton of sense from what we know about that sort of stuff. So if that doesn't make sense, like, I was, like, literally trying to reason through the whole Bible at the time, and, like, evolution and, like, all the things.
I
and
just I
was, like,
love how I'm your brain sure. works. No, because that's how I think too, and it's really refreshing to hear that someone else is like, "Yeah, and learn and understand." And
yeah, and I'm like, I know that women weren't made from Adam's rib, like, and I honestly still get people to this day occasionally who are like come in with back pain or like, "Well, men have less ribs than women, right?" Because like God took the rib from Adam and made Eve, right? Like, I'm like, no, actually. Yeah, like, I think we need not take these things so literally, like,
yes.
But that's a whole different discussion. We can go down that rabbit hole. But I was even, like, joking. I was like, maybe, like, I think Jesus was really cool, but maybe he didn't, like, do all the things that we maybe were led to believe that he did. I was joking with my friends. I went from Catholic to Jewish for a little while. I don't know. So this was all happening from like my spiritual end.
Yeah.
And I went into a yoga class, which is also funny because it's the polar opposite of the type of class that I like to take now. Oh. It was, there was like hip hop music playing, and it was an intro beginner level class, and the teacher is awesome. Like, I would still send people to her if you were in Philadelphia, which is where I took my first class. Mm-hmm. But just like very vinyasa based, like every movement, every step, every shift of your body was in coordinated with breath. And I think I really, from the physiological perspective, like how my brain was thinking about exercises and logical movement and movement prep to warm the body up for a pinnacle pose, like she like checked all those boxes. And then in a little bit of mindfulness in the beginning and end gave me that feeling that I get from church, from sermons, from like connecting a story to an analogy to make it relatable, to give you some space for figuring out life. And I was just like, holy shit, this is, oh, sorry, can you swear?
Yes, you can. Okay. Yeah. Tim was my first swear on the podcast.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I was just like, holy shit, like, this is church for my body. Like, yeah. And when I go to church, I get this, like, you know, it's a spiritual thing, and I feel like emotion-wise, like mentally, emotionally, I feel like, okay, this was a good exercise for me. But then yoga did all the things. Like, physically, I felt better. Mentally, I felt better. Emotionally, I felt better. And I was like, why have I been wasting my time trying to shop religions when, like, I can have it all in one? Mm. And that was my very first yoga class. So from there, yeah, I basically followed that teacher around for a little bit. I really liked her classes, and until she within the same gym. And then, and this was also like to set the scene a little bit more, that gym is like a powerlifting gym. They have like bench press competitions and like, just like in like an old like mill building where you look on the outside and you're like, is this even a place? Am I just walking into a door that leads nowhere? And then you get in there and it's like a big giant meathead gym, and in the back there's a studio that's very plain. Mm-hmm. They use it for yoga, for Zumba, all the things, and then I took like a hip hop yoga class, which is now, if I was looking, I'd be like, yep, no, it doesn't have any of the things that I want. Yeah. Like now if I'm going to a yoga class and there's not some form of chanting or like a bonus, if there's a harmonium, like that, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just lower my standards a little bit. But yeah, so in shopping around for taking more yoga, that teacher that I originally really liked, she moved farther away. Mm-hmm. So it was harder to get to our classes. So I just kind of started going to more classes, different places. Found another teacher that I really loved. And from there, started thinking about like using yoga movements with my patients, because like I'm doing like up dog for back pain. I call it a sloppy push-up, you know, but now if my patients are already doing yoga, I don't have to teach them something new. I just say, do your up dog and make sure you're breathing and not holding tension here or there or whatever. Yeah. So it was actually Tim who was like, so why don't you take a yoga teacher training? And I was like, oh, I know all the moves. Like, I don't need to, you know? And I was like, I'm going to throw another couple grand at this when I feel like I already like get it.
Right.
And then I started like, as far as like using it for my patients, it's totally within my scope of practice to like do the exercises, you know, and I'm not like, there's no like infringement from that perspective. So, I was like, what does this add for me? And I don't know. And then I started kind of letting it marinate, because usually Tim is a pretty smart guy and he makes some good suggestions. I don't know what, like when the turning point was, that made me like be like, yeah, I want to do this. Like I didn't wake up one day and was like, I want to teach yoga class and open a school. And like, that wasn't the thing. I think I was like, this is really cool. Like the more I learned about it, I was like, this is like, there's no other exercise that combines like mind, body, spirit, the way that yoga does. Mm-hmm. And from a clinical perspective, we know that a person comes in with low back pain or knee pain or hip pain, and we can look at the hip or the low back, but if you're not considering like the biopsychosocial, like the mental state of that person, like that day or in general, and then what's their sleep like, their nutrition, stress levels, all the things, like I'm not treating the person. It's like there's so much more that I can offer them, and it's almost negligent in my mind to not look at the whole picture. So I was like, why wouldn't I want to learn a little bit more about this school of thought that's been doing it like this for like 2 to 10,000 years, depending on who you talk to, you know? So my second teacher that I really fell in love with, I was like, hey, like, where'd you learn to be this cool, essentially? she directed me to Yoga on Main, which is a yoga studio on Main Street in Manayunk, which is an area of Philadelphia, kind of like Southie. It's like more rough around the edges, like very young crowd lives there. Yeah, and Yoga on Main is the oldest school in Philadelphia that's been teaching the longest and having, I think teacher trainings too, the longest, not just like offering class. So like that resonated with me, like that felt like, okay, so they've been doing this for a little while. They're not just like hanging their shingle out there and like, we need to make money, so we're going to just open a school. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I called to talk to them, and I spoke to the owner at the time, who is the main teacher who teaches the whole school. And I just like, it was one of those things, like just like the sound of his voice, it was like a happy place for me. And I took his class, and I was just like, even from, so talking about the very first yoga class that I took was totally not the type of class that I love. Like his class is not what I need personally. Mm. All the time. It's not mm-hmm. like what I crave, mm-hmm. but he is just such a true, like genuine, like beacon of, I don't even know if there's really a word for it, but, yeah, like he's meant to teach yoga mm-hmm. and not just like yoga, like what we think of like asana and like lead people through movements, but like the whole thing. Yeah. So I was like, yep. Doing it. And honestly, like my motivation at that point was like, so I get the movement piece, like teach me about the philosophy and the history and like, where did this come from? How do we get to this point? Like, mm-hmm. so that was my main driver, in taking the teacher training. Cause like I said, I felt like, okay, like I can already do this. What does this add? But, and this is also something that I feel like is so important for my patients. And we don't get a ton of education on the psychology piece in chiropractic school, or like, of course, like bedside manner and communication and education. These are all important things, but like actual, like, yeah, just from like considering that person's mental state, like, yes, yeah. Be aware of it. Yeah. Okay. How, you know, like, how do I read them? How do I understand these different personalities? And like, that's when for me, Ayurveda was so huge, because I started to be like, ah, yes, the racing mind, or the calm mind, or the stubborn mind, or the, and then how I could, you know, and the way the program was, the teacher training was lined up was always to gear towards how you can find the asana for this person. Mm-hmm. But our teacher training was also co-led by a guy who is like one of the forefathers of bringing and cultivating Ayurveda in the States. So David Frawley, I don't know if you even know that name, but he's a very, as far as like traditional yoga in America, he's, by people in India, he's considered like a guru of sorts, but yeah. He's American. He's like a white guy. He's not like what you would think of when you think of like a swami of sorts.
Yeah. And what style of yoga does he teach?
Hatha.
Nice.
Yeah. And the school was Hatha, specifically their brand of Hatha is inner fire yoga. And so David Frawley has a few disciples, and one of our teachers was his disciple, and he taught at the New England Ayurvedic Academy that's somewhere around here, I feel like, in, I forget where, somewhere outside of Boston, that's since like moved around a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he teaches an Ayurvedic program at the Yoga on Main in Philly, and then also does the Ayurvedic portion within this teacher training, which was a whole piece that I was like, it was the reason I was taking my yoga teacher training, but not realizing it until I got there. Like, this was why I took this training, was to like gain that whole piece. Wow. So, yeah. So that's my long story. The real long story.
Wasn't that long? That's really cool. Yeah. I love that it was such a, it sounds like your gut or your soul or whatever it is, like just knew immediately, like, oh yeah, this is it. You know, same with the school, it sounds like too, like with picking what track you were going to do or what mm-hmm. field you were going to go into, which type of degree you were going to do. It sounds like you have a pretty strong relationship with like your own inner guide or wisdom.
Yeah. And I think I also, like a lot of this, I feel like if you asked me in that time, it would have been a different story.
Yeah.
And like now looking back, because it was such a big part of my life, like I'm like, oh, and then this happened and this was awesome. And like, who knew I was going to, I don't know. I just like think back on those things and, cause it really shaped me in a lot of ways. Like here I am, even now, like saying how I took this teacher training program to learn about the philosophy and the history because it was cool and they're putting it together and it made sense.
Yeah.
But I already know the movement stuff and it's not really going to change my practice that much, you know. And here I am like, oh yeah, like it definitely shaped that piece significantly.
Yeah.
The movements that I do, but like the why behind the what, I guess, if that makes sense.
So what would you say was sort of like the most notable shift that you noticed, you know, you pre-teacher training to post-teacher training?
Oh, that's a really good question. The most notable change for me, like, is the most unexpected one for me, because so I'm mentioning how I noticed I knew from school and life, like the mind, body, spirit thing is important. And mm-hmm. I knew that yoga had that. And that's what I was looking to like expand my knowledge on, from like a psychology, emotional, like philosophy piece, but I didn't expect to gain as much from meditation personally mm-hmm. and just, yeah, so I had always had this lofty and kind of like your interview with, I forget his name already, we were just talking about
him. Wilhelm?
Yes, mm-hmm. Wilhelm. how like, when I think of meditating, or when I used to think of meditating, I think of like the Swami with a long beard and no shirt on and like a loincloth sitting in a cave, you know, mm-hmm. and Sukhasana with like some sort of yoga mudra happening with his hands for hours on end is what I think of meditation and getting into meditation, it was very like, oh, even though I know it's important from a clinical perspective and I recommend people to do it, excuse me. But like going through the steps and doing it myself and then talking about more about how what meditation is and isn't, realizing that like the prayer that I did before bed as a kid growing up, like that's meditation. Mm-hmm. How I hate running, but I go for runs at the changes of the season because it's like I'm like driven to do that. And it's like a mental thing. Like I don't physically feel like I gain anything like cardiovascularly or whatever physiology you want to talk about. But like mentally, it's a moving meditation for me. Mm. And I went from a place from being like, oh yeah, I don't really meditate. I don't really know how to do it. Not really good at it. It's not like part of me. And then I'm like, holy shit. Like I meditate all the time.
Yes.
And it's totally not what I thought it was. Ugh. And it was like a breaker of chains in that Game of Thrones reference.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to disappoint you. I don't watch it. I'm
oh,
sorry.
Man. Okay.
I'm
that's
so
okay.
sorry. I'm a failure.
It's totally fine. It's a little stressful. So, but anyway, so I would say that was like the biggest thing for me, like transformative wise, mm-hmm. was even just realizing like I thought I'd be learning meditation from a place of like a super beginner who had never done it before and no experience and like, and I realized, oh, I actually can do this. And like, I'm kind of good at it. Or not, I don't know, not that you can win meditation. But you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't something that I struggled with as much as I thought. It was just like repurposing or re-understanding. I don't know what the right word is. That what that is to me.
Mm-hmm. So. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's really reassuring for listeners who might be intimidated still by developing a meditation practice, mm-hmm. because a lot of people think like, oh, I can't do it and it's not accessible for me.
Yeah.
And for you to have shared that you had that same kind of feelings about it and then realized, oh no, I actually am meditating. I think that that's important for people to hear because they may already be doing it on a daily basis and just not know like, yeah, this is a form of meditation.
Yeah. And it's like, I haven't come up with a good metaphor for it yet. If you asked him, like, metaphors are my jam. It's basically like how I communicate to my patients. I'm like, analogies out the wazoo.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like meditation isn't for me is like being like food isn't for me. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, we need it to survive. And wait a minute. There's like Chinese food and there's Indian food and there's Mexican food and there's American food and there's breakfast food and there's dinner food. Like, you don't have like anything in there. Like, wait, do you realize you've been eating your whole life? Like, there's so many different forms. And I was even reading an article recently that's like talking about, we see a lot how social media is like vilified, right? Mm-hmm. And we're constantly inundated and overstimulated with all this stuff, technology and blah, blah, blah. And how, and even we know from like a sleep hygiene perspective, like shut the TV off at the end of the night, like get away from your phone, like all that sort of stuff and the blue light and blah, blah, blah. And it was talking about how maybe if we put ourselves, like if we're in a safe place and depending on what it is that we're looking at, like this can be like meditative and calming and like good for the psyche. So like, which makes me think of like Netflix and Hulu and like how people like binge watch The Office, which they've seen a million times, or Seinfeld or Friends or like something like that, where you know what's happening and you know it's going to happen and it's not like surprising. And it's almost like this can be meditative in a way for you probably are meditating and you don't realize it. Like you're not thinking about work and you're not thinking about the stresses of the day and you're focused and you're seated and you're in a, or stand, whatever, wherever you are, laying down in a comfortable position. I'm like, this isn't a negative thing as far as I'm concerned. And then if a person is able to be in that place and like mentally unwind, like that's what we're doing with meditation, is it not? Like, just because it's coming from a screen, like in yoga, we have all these tools to like tune the senses and, you know, whether it's chanting or, you know, vibrations and or sound or light, or that we change our eyes closed or eyes open or the position that we're in. So why, like, I forget the Kriya where you look at a candle and you stare at the candle until like your eyes water. What's really, from a physiological perspective, different from like staring at the TV? Probably no better or worse. But if you're getting to that same place mentally, like, well, for it. I'm going to start a Friends meditation group or Seinfeld meditation group or Office, and it's going to be super popular.
Yes.
And that's where I'm going with that.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That was probably like the coolest analogy I've ever heard. That was so brilliant about like eating.
Well, I'm figuring it out still. I'm working on it. There's some kinks in there, I think.
Oh, with that, I'm blown away. Yeah. I hope Wilhelm hears that.
Yeah,
we'll have him steal it.
Yeah, actually,
or borrow it or something.
After I heard your podcast with him, I wanted to like reach out to him because he's doing.
Oh, you should.
Like, he's doing meditation. That's another thing that we would love to bring into this space is like group meditation.
Yeah.
In fact, this was going to be a meditation room at some point, which is why that stuff's in here.
Nice.
But we're still working the kinks out with that. So Wilhelm,
yes,
call me.
Yeah, I'll anyway. I'll talk to him.
Yeah,
see if I can share info. He's awesome. I could talk about him for 5 hours. But so to come back to kind of marrying the chiropractic and the yoga piece, how is your personal practice influenced by your day job? Basically, you know, like, are you even like when you're walking? I almost like envision like you walking down the street and being like, yes, that is this bone, and this bone is now moving in this direction, and, like, this muscle's here, you know?
That's actually not that far off.
Oh, my God, that's so precious.
I think I mentioned, so we're running, we're doing the Boston Run to Remember the Half Marathon next week.
Amazing.
So, like, as I'm running, if I have, like, a sore spot somewhere, I'm like, okay, so I need to shift my weight here because I'm toeing off too, and my heel strike's not right, and I must have, like, frontal, I've got to work on the frontal, but, like, these are the things that go on in my brain. And then also, like, one of my favorite pastimes is, I mean, just in general being in the city and people watching, but like on the Esplanade where there's walkers and runners and bikers, and I'm like, yep, you know, he's got ankle pain, right shoulder, left hip, like, wow. You know, just like thinking. I don't, but I've always,
so cool.
I've always,
my brain to work like
yeah.
that.
I don't know why. It's something I've done since I was a kid. Aww. Like, I can literally, like, my high school softball team, which I, if anyone's listening, they're probably not. They're all over the place, but
listen, we're international here.
Yes,
the
that's
podcast,
true.
So,
that's true.
You know,
they might be. So I think of like specific people where I could 100% like, this is what they run like. This is their like whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's, I've always done that in life. Yeah, like how you might think of your friends, like, oh, the funny personality, the mm-hmm. this personality. Like, I've always been a person who gravitated towards like watching movements and like, just yeah. like a little tick that a person might have, like a head flick or a hair flip or the way I talk with my hands. You might notice, like, I notice that sort of stuff with movement, like a foot flick mm-hmm. or a twist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just worked out that. Or maybe that's part of the reason why I ended up in this chair here today. But I definitely have always been driven to, like, watch movement and be aware of that sort of stuff. Which
so cool.
So that's kind of an aside. I forget
I love
the question
it.
You
well,
asked.
So, no, but this is really cool.
Yeah.
How has it influenced your practice as a yoga teacher? Or okay. as a yoga student and a teacher?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how, what has my, like, sorry. Say
the
that
knowledge
just,
that you have as a chiropractor.
Yeah.
You know, how has that changed your like personal practice at all
oh.
or even like your style of teaching if you
good
if you were
question
teaching
so yeah I mean as far as teaching or my use of what I gained from the yoga teacher training, I mostly one of the things that I do is I've constantly been using it with my patients from that perspective. It kind of just changed the lens through which I look at people, I guess.
Yeah.
Where I from a movement perspective is something I've always like I mentioned, that's came easy to me. And now I think from like the Ayurveda piece, as far as like how a person is like energetically and how I need to communicate with them to, best resonate with them. That's probably been the biggest change for me. I had another answer to this question that popped up into my head, and this was an aside to get there, and now I don't really remember what I was going to say.
It'll come back.
But yeah, and then I guess just that I've been a chiropractor for longer than I've been doing yoga. So I graduated in 2010, and I've, like I said, I've always been active and into sports and moving, and then therefore watching people move.
Yeah.
So I feel like if anything, chiropractic was influenced by the yoga, not the yoga influenced by the chiropractic. But then on that same front, I guess, so I've been working a little bit with someone else that you interviewed, Laura Ahrens, and her teacher training program to kind of guide the thought process for their anatomy and their injuries portion. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I'm using the chiropractic piece to give back to the yoga part because, I think you were at the talk that I gave that day.
That's so incredible.
My biggest thing is I so obviously you know how awesome I think yoga is and it's shocker starting to show up more and more in the research as like being a thing to do. Or to recommend for people who have back pain and have different issues. And even just more commonplace, like you might hear like, oh, I hurt my back. I heard it. Sometimes my doctor said, hey, you should go try yoga or, oh, you're pregnant, do yoga, you know? And it's like, well, from the yoga teacher's perspective, like, well, wait a minute. Like I'm thinking about it from a clinical perspective. My yoga teacher training was definitely not, while it was awesome in so many ways, this was the one way that it was lacking. It was not up to par to prepare me as a yoga teacher to deal with people walking in with injuries or really even injury prevention. Like we learned a little bit from an anatomical perspective, like this is what your quad muscle is and this is what it feels like. This is where it hurts when it hurts. But like then what?
Yeah.
It was very much like a
there's only so much you can do
yeah.
in
and
hour.
It's so, yeah, exactly. Like, so it was very much like, first do no harm, just avoid the area. But, which is totally fine advice, but if you're going to be getting people in your classroom specifically with goals of like resolving their pain and issues, yeah. maybe even as like the first forefront of like before they see a doctor, if mm-hmm. their friend recommended that they go there because their back pain went away after they did yoga, then like you better be prepared.
Yeah.
So that's a way that I kind of married my like physical medicine perspective in the yoga to educate yoga teachers on like, these are some injuries we can see. This is how they happen. This is what pain is or what pain isn't, and the difference between a pain and an injury, mm-hmm. And how you can more confidently work with someone who is suffering from XYZ. Mm-hmm. And then also to know your limits and to be like, this is when I can help someone. This is when I can't. These are more ominous signs of like, you need to see a clinician. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, you always want to help mm-hmm. everyone, right? It's not within your scope, if that's the right word, for a yoga teacher, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times. But also, you've probably, a lot of, sometimes people end up wanting to go to teacher trainings because they had X, Y, Z, neck pain, shoulder pain, back pain, and then they did a whole bunch of yoga and they felt a whole lot better. So mm-hmm. Maybe it's personal experience too. So, yeah, I think... if yoga can be better and safer for more people, it can be accessible for more people, and then more people can do it and hopefully have experiences like I did, like Church for Your Body. And so for me, that I've been driven to reach out to teacher training programs and get involved that way. Because I feel like if I can help the teachers, then I have like a farther reach on the student. Like one teacher sees how many students a week, you know? And yeah. So if I can make that one teacher better, then I can help that many more people
yeah.
on that front.
I would, so. I'm just throwing this out there. You maybe have already thought about it, but it would be so, I would love to see you do like a workshop for however many days at some studio mm. with like all the things, you know?
We may have something.
Oh my gosh.
Works.
I hope so, because I think that would be just incredible.
Yeah. We have.
Yeah.
Laura and I are looking into putting something together on that front. Probably we'll have some information for you by the end of the summer.
That's amazing.
So we'll let you know.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love how you said the Church of the Body, too. Yeah. That was really cool. So, you know, I asked him this, and so I know that there's probably some similarities between you two. But in terms of your practice here, because we are at your office, yeah. right?
Here specifically, right?
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
So, you know, with your practice and with, you know, the clients that you're seeing, what can they expect when they start working with you? Whether that's, you know, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, true. Hopefully a whole lot. I think... if I had to like, cause I could, this is something I could talk about for hours too, but I feel like if I had to like kind of give a couple things, I think mm-hmm. it would be to first, cause it would be the first day and part of the eval is to like have someone who really hears them. Mm-hmm. Cause one of my main goals as far as a clinician personally, and then as far as a goal that I have for most of my patients is that I consider myself, it's like a co-captain relationship. It's not a like authoritarian sort mm-hmm. of dictator situation happening.
It's like you're both experts just in different fields.
Yeah.
They're the expert of themselves. You're the expert in chiropractic.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Like nobody knows your body better than you, and it's yeah. your experience, and it's like what you get out of it is what you put into it. And mm-hmm. I can't do it for you. I can give you some direction and I can give you some education and some information and some motivation. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, and if anybody promises you anything else, it's a Band-Aid and that Band-Aid falls off. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I'm about. I came from that place where, and that's kind of how I got into the chiropractic piece is, like I said, I was like that first day I was mesmerized by the adjustment. And it's an awesome thing and it helps a lot of people in acute pain, but it's Band-Aid. And it's as far as I'm concerned, it creates a window of opportunity to move and change your habits and change your lifestyle so that you can become stronger, whatever you need to be in a place where you're not kind of susceptible to those same XYZ. Mm-hmm. And that got you in whatever pain that you're in or whatever it is that you want to change to see me for. So, it's a co-captain relationship because I'm mostly using movement as my main treatment tool, and you've got to move yourself. And in this half an hour visit that I spend with you, we're going to do a bunch of movement, but what happens the other 23 and a half hours a day? You know, so I'm hopefully mostly while I'm showing you some movement and we're doing some movement, I'm teaching you some things that you can use to better yourself outside of seeing me. And so that's a big thing is that, and also too, from the mental, emotional side of things, like if you're not super comfortable with the exercise that I'm given, or like your job doesn't allow you to get down on the floor and do planks and the exercise I gave you was a form of a plank, like this isn't going to work. So I want to make sure that that person feels like they're in as much control as I am as far as directing where this goes, and that they have as much input as I do, you know, from the clinical perspective, because it's, again, it's their body and it's their life. And as far as like from a long-term goal perspective, like most of the people that I see, they want to get out of pain today. And I'm always like kind of reframing to be like, okay, so if you weren't in pain, like what does long-term look like? Cause we can get you out of pain today. That's a band-aid. But like, do you want this pain to come back tomorrow? Like, what are you motivated? And most people are, they're already kind of heard of us or coming from like a place where it's more chronic, and they know that this is not a quick fix, and they're in it for the long haul essentially. But to give them that piece of control is so empowering. And I think it's also like a game changer from what they've experienced with other clinicians or what their experiences with medicine in general and health in this country. So, I need them to be, have an understanding of their bodies, of what's actually going on, know that they're strong and they're able and they just need a little bit of direction and that we are in this together. So those are the things that I would say that you could expect from seeing me.
Yeah.
So.
Which is such an empowering, you said the word already, you know, it's such an empowering way of offering care.
Yeah.
Because I think, and I said this, I think to Tim, it's a lot of times, I think my personal experiences have been going to someone and they're like, I'm the expert, I'm going to tell you what to do. And if you don't follow through with that, that's like, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem. And then I think that just leaves way too much room for shame and guilt on the part of the client.
Yeah. And what does that do?
Right. Yeah, absolutely nothing.
And then if we're talking about like...
perpetuates the cycle.
Yeah. Like this foot that we're here because it's injured is attached to a knee, which is attached to a hip, which is attached to a back and a brain.
Yeah.
And if that brain isn't down with what's going on, like I don't care how science-based and like ethical and efficacious the whatever treatment is and indicated, like it's a whole person. It's weird. You're like this crazy dynamic human being who like is affected by a whole lot of stuff. It's crazy. I'll explain it later.
Right.
You know, like, so you have to connect with the whole person. And I think, and especially, when it comes to like pain and movement and, like longevity, it's about giving that person ownership and control. Cause, and then a lot of people too, they come from this place where like, oh yeah, you have back pain. Oh, well, you're broken. So you just shouldn't do too much activity or don't use your lower body. And it's like,
and take Advil every day.
Yeah. Take Advil every day. It's totally fine for your stomach. That stuff where it's going to tear out your lining and like, you probably get cancer. That's just, it's only in like 70% of the population. Yeah. And, you know, like, it's like, what? Yeah. And I don't know, but I like to think that the people would give that sort of advice are just maybe misunderstanding the information or misinformed and not like truly trying to just be completely ridiculous. But I think that like understanding and like having that locus and control on your end is like too, like numero uno for change, like actual true change, which is what most health issues need, is like some sort of lifestyle change. Because like after that, it's most things are straightforward. Like I call it Sesame Street health, right? Like if you watch Sesame Street, which I watch a lot of lately because I have a 2-year-old, it's like brush your teeth, eat your vegetables, drink water, be kind to one another, go to bed early, you know, take a nap if you need a nap, read a book, like all of these things, like don't forget to exercise. Like, okay, like that's basically what I tell people every day. Like, you know this,
right?
You know? So, but if you feel like broken and damaged and like it's like not up to you, then those things are kind of harder to do. And it's harder to take control and make change. Change is the hard part. It's not knowing what things are.
Yeah.
So,
you know, for me in my practice as a therapist, I am trying, I'm paying attention to someone's readiness to change.
Yeah.
And that is right. That I think is such a major determining factor in one's growth, you know, maintaining whatever it is that they're working on, all the things. And I'm curious how you handle maybe a client who is a bit more, I don't want to say treatment resistant, because I don't, that sounds like they're avoiding it on purpose.
Yeah.
But somebody that maybe is having a more challenging time with the work that you're working on together.
Great question. So I think just like when my first yoga class was like in a meathead hole in the wall gym. It's not a hole in the wall. It's a very nice place. East Falls Fitness in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I can edit that one out.
But no, it's totally fine. But no, it's a good spot. It's where I took my first yoga class. Yeah. And it, like, would I recommend that for myself now? No. But it's where I was at the time. And it got my foot in the door. And I think this is something that Tim and I kind of go back and forth on a lot, not really back and forth, but we just kind of struggle to find the right thing and do the best for each person, is that part of us sometimes just wants to like shake a person and being like, you can do this.
I feel you.
Like it's right there in front of you. Yep. Like, just grab it. And then and the person's like in a place where they can't, or they can't see it, they can't do it, they can't execute, they're working through something. So sometimes maybe we feel like what they need to do is just this, like just cut this out, like no bullshit, like this is what you need to do now. But if a person's not ready to hear that, they're gonna respond like crap, like talking, like as far as motivational interviewing goes and like how you think about doing that, like you keep, like that's the whole point of motivational interviewing, you know, is to let the person get there themselves. So if I can't meet a person where they're at, then like I'm not helping anybody either. So it's definitely something that I struggle with, like in also too, that I am a type of person where like I would rather have somebody just shake me and be like, you need this, do it. And then I'll be like, oh shit, I need that. And then just do it.
Right.
But not everybody can handle that. Yeah. Or not everybody every day can handle that is probably more appropriate. Like there's times where it wouldn't be good for me either. And that's kind of where like the yoga piece and the Ayurveda pieces help me to like recognize like the type of person that I'm dealing with, even though I have only that 60-minute evaluation to like find out what's going on, find out where they're at, find out where they're trying to go, kind of devise a rough outline of how we're going to get there, pitch it to them. And then, and like, you know, like maybe the person needs to, in my head, I'm like, you need to quit that job. You need to get out of this place. But like right now we need to breathe. So let's do that. And so you can only, you know, do a little bit at a time. So I don't know. I definitely struggle with that for sure. But I think meeting a person where they're at is really, really important. And then it's just like the science and the art of what we do as clinicians is like finding the right in the right You know, which is also like where my philosophy comes from with the co-captain, co-captain thing. Like if we know that you need to work on squats for whatever reason, like you're a mom who picks up their kid a lot, like that's a squat, you know, so, but a traditional squat, maybe you hurt your knee and your doctor years ago said, well, you can't squat, don't squat. Like, so you're going to have like mental, emotional barrier against squatting. So what can I do for you to make this safe? There's a million different squat exercises out there. I'm not going to give you the one that feels awful. I'm not going to give you the one that feels, maybe doesn't physically feel awful. Maybe it's like scary or like looking at the barbell on the squat rack in our front room is like, ah, anxiety, you know, like that's not for you. But if we can start with some box squats or some chair squats or bring your baby in and we'll squat with your baby and we can make it a game and we can play with it. There's so many things that we can do to make really anything accessible and find the right thing for you. So like on the co-captain, co-captain front, like you need to communicate with me that this is where you're at and this is what your needs are. And I will like go through my expansive toolbox to pick out the right one that's good for you. And that's kind of how we can marry that and move forward together.
So. And again, like you guys make it so accessible for people.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
It's gotta be. It's not like, honestly, like most things are like a Sesame Street health issue. You already know what you need to do. You already know. You just don't know how to get there. You don't know what the best way to do it and, or how to start or where to start or who to start with.
Yeah.
So it's, and I've got all these tools. I've done all the manual therapy courses, the stretching, the rubbing, the taping, the, you know, the adjusting, all the things. So if you, if that's what you want, like that's one thing, like the meeting the people where they're at, like personally for us as chiropractors, because we're chiropractors and there's like a societal understanding of what a chiropractor does. Well, as if you listen to Tim's podcast, we're a little bit different than the average chiropractor. But a lot of people come to us, oh, I've got back pain, you're a chiropractor, I'm going to get an adjustment. And I'm like, well, that is one type of thing that I can do within like all sorts of other manual therapy that I can do. But really, like this movement thing is really what we need to, from like a long-term perspective, do for you. But if I were to be like, no, you shall not get adjusted, see you never, bye, like that person... they'll probably end up going somewhere else where someone will like pat their back and be like, yeah, sure, no problem, we can adjust you. And they'll get that Band-Aid and the Band-Aid fall off and they continue to get just a little bit of palliative care and never actually fix their problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got to meet people where they're at. And yeah. And then on the other hand too, I get people who are like, oh, I know you're a chiropractor. I'm very afraid of adjustments and I'm just not comfortable with it. I don't like massage. I feel sore after. So I know that you want to adjust me. And like, it's usually the person who's like, they come in and they're being very brave and they're like, so I know you're going to want to adjust and I've thought about it and I've been putting this appointment off. So I've decided you can adjust just my leg.
That's like me.
And I'm like, whoa, you don't have to get adjusted. Like, this is not that kind of place. Yeah. So, usually that person's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I actually have one patient right now that I'm thinking of in particular, came in for neck pain and we've done some really good stuff, but she was very much like, everyone said I should get my neck adjusted and I know that it could help, but like, I'm just so afraid. And I'm like, okay, we're not doing it. It's cool. And she's like, well, I thought maybe like over time we could work on some stuff and then eventually I would feel more comfortable. I was like, no, it's totally fine. Like it's not special. There's nothing magical about it. Like it's not necessary.
Right.
It's just, it's totally, totally fine. And she's still like the other day, so I had adjusted her like mid back, which I like, we 99% of what we do is movement, but for whatever reason I had adjusted her back and she's like, you know, I was thinking that maybe eventually we could do, and I was like, but why? Like, and at this point her neck is totally fine. Like she's feeling great and we're on to some other stuff. And it's just funny how like people, I think they want to like live up to your expectations, whatever they assume that to be. And I do too also, you know, so I want to help people and meet their expectations too. And I think that's too, like, so there's the co-captain thing, mm-hmm. and then, but the education and the communication piece is huge on that front. I feel like I kind of went off on a tangent.
No. I think it's so important too to, you know, allow people to feel autonomous in their own body.
Yes.
And allow people to feel like they are an expert of their body, mm-hmm. you know? So everything you just said was really important.
Oh, great. I'm glad you appreciated it.
No, love it. It's funny because I didn't say this in the beginning of us recording. We talked for like an hour before this, and I feel like I'm cheating you because we're only at an hour and 5 minutes. And I know Tim's was like an hour and a half or something crazy, and I have to run inside at least for a moment.
Totally fine. It's but, good stuff. I feel like we covered all the things. And don't worry, everyone. What you missed was totally boring banter. It wasn't as nearly. I feel
no,
like
you missed everything. Thing. Experience FOMO. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
That would be really mean. So where can folks find you on social media?
Our office Instagram handle is @BackBayHealth. Mm-hmm. Do you say at? What's the right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people say at. Yeah.
And then personally, I have kind of my own Instagram account, which is @TheYogaFix. The Yoga Fix.
Which is the most brilliant handle for you. Yeah, I love it. I can't believe it was available.
Tim, again.
What?
Yeah, I know. He's really. In fact, that was like when I was like, okay, I'm going to do this yoga teacher training thing. He was like, I found this Instagram handle for you.
Oh my God.
And it's funny. In fact, I think your handle, The Yogi Therapist, I feel like that's one of the things that I would have like been looking at the time. And I look back and think like, I wonder if I had like an experience with meeting Shelby like years ago before. Like, I don't know how long you've had that handle, but.
I don't know. But you know what's funny is there's a woman in, I forget where she is. I want to say Maryland, but that's not it. She's the Yogi PT, and she had originally theyogitherapist.com, and she still has it, but now it's the Yogi PT. But it's interesting. Ugh. She's also a yoga teacher too. Oh, yeah,
so. Very cool. Yeah. So those are the two Instagrams that you can find me at, and our website is www.backbayhealth.com, where you can kind of, well, actually, I was going to say where you can learn about us, but we're in the process of revamping our website. So if you go, just don't leave too much judgment, because like next week, we're hopefully going to be launching a prettier, updated version.
Which will probably be out by the time this airs.
Yeah. All right. Maybe.
Unless I'm tempted to be like, let's release this on Monday.
Well, we've been planning to like actually like put our foot down and finish it since like, I think our original deadline was December 1st.
Oh, it's okay. It you're busy.
Yeah.
And you have a 2-year-old.
Yeah. So you're working on it. It will happen soon. But you'll know if you make it to the new one or old one, because the old one is, I think it even has like our old studio's logo in the background. Like, it's very inconsistent. But yeah, hopefully at least it will be more consistent with, say, what our Instagram looks like right now, which is updated logo and place of our pictures of our space and
just
stuff.
The logo
like that
is so cool.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love the mural.
Oh, thank you. Done.
Looks really cool.
Yeah, our graphic designer kind of, she connected us with the artist who did that.
Oh, wow.
But it was all kind of her handiwork to come up with that. So.
So cool.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a graphic designer, anyone, I've got a,
what's your name?
Marwa Osman.
Very cool. Is she freelance?
That's a good question. She was working for someone and she just kind of pulled away, and she's actually working, I think, primarily for the old studio, that Vega, where we were before we branched off to our space here. So I don't know if, I know she does a lot of freelance. Mm-hmm. I know they've kind of got their claws into her for all of their stuff, which
she does great work.
Awesome with them. Yeah. But
I'm a little bit of a snob since my husband is a graphic designer. Oh, so I'm like, I'm so like judgy. Not really.
Oh yeah.
It makes me sound nasty, but I just,
no,
I feel like
educated.
I know a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is actually really good. Oh, you know, I don't necessarily know what's like amazing or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel
I'm
like
kind
I
of the same way. I feel like at this point now that we've had like 5 logos over the years of like different things, and it's kind of morphed into what it is now. So I feel like while I know nothing about like actual like educated graphic design work, I feel like I can recognize a good logo and a
totally
bad one just from having had a lot of bad ones.
Or even, like, for me, it's, like, telling, I can sort of see now when something's photoshopped.
Oh,
this is definitely photoshopped.
Or if it's, like clip arty, I'm like,
oh my gosh, super clip arty. Yes. God. That's so funny. Well, thank you so much for taking time out with me and talking. It was a lot of fun to just hear, like, your, especially hear your experience of how you discovered yoga and how you've kind of found, you know,
thank you. Thank you for having me. It was really a pleasure. I'm glad you tolerated my droning on.
No, you weren't droning at all. I would have just stopped you and would have been like, cool, okay, thanks, done.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I probably would.
Okay, good.
I feel comfortable with you. That's what I need. I can be honest.
That's what I need in my life. Like, that's, I mean, Tim's great and all, but, like, he definitely reels me in. Like, he's great for all the reasons, but that one specifically, I think, is why he's meant for me, is because he, like, can calm the crazy, but also let it go when he knows that I need to just fly.
Well, but see, I wonder if you're the same. Like, I have to talk in order to process my thoughts.
Yes, same.
I can't, like, I don't usually, I'm not thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ahead too much.
Yep.
And so I tend to just be like, la, 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 and 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, here it is. Yes. Here's my point.
Absolutely. Even, like, in talking today, I feel like there were several times where I was like, wait, I started here and I was talking about this so I could circle back, and now
I but I probably influenced that a bit because I did that, like, every 2 seconds too.
No. You're great. Nope. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. And listeners, you'll just have to deal with it. Okay? Yes.
Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry is more like it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're enjoying my podcast, please subscribe and post a review. It would make me so, so happy. I'd love to hear your thoughts, feelings, and suggestions for future topics and hosts, so feel free to contact me through social media or send an email over to theyogitherapist@gmail.com. I'm always open to your feedback, and I love connecting with you all. Until next time, namaste. Thank you.